This week's parsha is Parshas Chukas, and a lot happens in Parshas Chukas. In the beginning of Parshas Chukas in Perek Yodates, we learn the laws of the Para Aduma, the entirely red cow, whose ashes were Metaher the Tameh and Metameh the Tahar. They caused one who was ritually impure through contact with a corpse to undergo a process whereby the ashes were sprinkled upon them and they became pure, whereas the Kohen who did the sprinkling became impure. And Parachof of Parshas Chukas, very, very famous. Miriam dies. In the aftermath of Miriam's death, the water dries up. Moshe strikes the rock. God declares that Moshe is banished from the land of Israel. Aaron also dies in Parachof of Parshas Chukas. So there is a lot of drama. It's important to remember that between Perek Yodtes and the Para Aduma, and Parachof, which includes Misas, Miriam, Meimeriva and Misas Aaron, there is a gap of about 38 and a half years. Parshas Chukas is in the beginning of the desert wanderings, and Parshas Chukas Perek Yodtes is the beginning of the desert wanderings, and by the time we get to the death of our great leaders on Eivor LaYarden, outside of the land of Israel, we are in year 40 of desert wanderings. For purposes of today's shiur, we are going to focus on a lesson learned from the Chukas HaTorah of Para Aduma, the great enigma, the great mystery, the great ununderstandable law of the red heifer. The parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron Lemur, and God spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the law of the Torah, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemur, that Hashem is commanded, saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, V'yichu Eilach, and they should take to you Para Aduma, a perfectly red cow, Tamima, pure, Asher Ein Ba Mum, it has no blemish, Asher Lo Ala Ala Ha'ol, upon which a yoke has never come. Rashi to this pasuk says, "Lafisha ha-satan v'umos ha'olam monin es Yisrael lomar ma mitzvah zos." The Satan, the accuser, the Satan, and the nations of the world aggrieve us. They give us a lot of agmas nefesh. They say this mitzvah makes no sense. What is this commandment that you are doing? Umatam yeshba. And what is the reason? Just because someone becomes tamei the nefesh, impure through contact with a corpse, they need to be sprinkled with water that contains the ashes of a red heifer. What kind of ridiculous mitzvah is this? Say the nations of the world and the Satan. And therefore the Torah writes chuka, it is a statute, it is a law, which implies gezeira hi milfanai, it is an absolute decree before me, says God. Ein lecha reshus laharher achara, you do not have permission to wonder about it, you do not have permission to question my ways. Okay, so furthermore, why does the pasuk say v'yichu eilacha para aduma, they shall take to you a red heifer? Rashi says la'olam hini kreis al shemecha, it shall be eternally called upon your name. Para sha'asa Moshe b'mremer, the cat, parasha asa Moshe b'midbar, the cow that Moshe prepared in the wilderness. And interestingly, Chazal tell us all future red cows were ascribed to Moshe. How so? Their ashes, the future red cows, had some of the ashes of the cow that Moshe prepared mixed in with those future ashes. So the ashes of Moshe's original Para Aduma, a little bit was always saved for the next generations and mixed in with the ashes of the future red cows. What is Aduma Tamima? Perfectly red. Shetehei Tamima. She should be perfect in its redness. If it has even two black hairs, pasula, it's disqualified. What do? They give it to the Sagan Kohen, the deputy Kohen Gadol. He takes it outside of all three camps, Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, Machane Yisrael. They shecht the cow. The cow is burned, and the ashes are used in a process of ritual purification for someone who has become Tamei Lames. The Para Aduma is very famous, because she is metame the tohorim, he who is pure. When they started this process, such as the Kohen Gadol, becomes impure through contact with the ashes, but it is metahor the tame, he who was impure through contact with a corpse, after undergoing the process of purification involving the ashes, will become pure. So this is a real enigma. It involves the realm of tuma and tahara, ritual impurity and ritual purity. And Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Toras Chaim, Yeshiva of South Shore, asks a very good question in his Parsha Parables. And he asks as follows, why were these complex, very spiritual laws of the Para Aduma placed in the middle of the book of Bamidbar. The enigmatic laws of ritual purity and impurity are almost entirely described in Sefer Vayikra. The appellation for Sefer Vayikra, the third book of Torah, is known as Toras Kohanim. It involves Tuma, it involves Tahara, it involves Korbanos, it speaks about Tzara'as and the Mitzorah and the Zav and the Zava. All of these spiritual states are described in depth along with their halachos and their relevant mitzvos in the book of Vayikra. So says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, shouldn't the mystical requirements of the Parah Aduma be with the laws of the Kohanim in Torah's Kohanim, the book of Vayikra? Why instead is Parah Aduma, Perek Yud Tes, placed in the book that recounts the stories of human folly, the malicious uprising of Korach, the miscalculations of the spies, the unfaithfulness of the Sota, Bamidbar Parakeh, the complaints against the heavenly fare of manna? Our souls are sick, we have nothing to eat, Parshas Balozcha, except for this man. We remember the meat, we want meat, we remember the fish. What is Parah Aduma doing in this book, which is full of error, of the Dor HaMidbar, the Yotzei Mitzrayim? What significance, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, does the juxtaposition of this seemingly unexplainable divine ritual have for the tales of human error and miscalculation that take up the majority of the book of Bamidbar? And he answers very profoundly with a strong Musar Haskel for all of us. Perhaps, says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, there is no better place to expound the laws of Parah Aduma than in the middle of Sefer Bamidbar. Why? For it is this Torah section, this fourth book of Torah, that also discusses a generation, listen carefully, that thought they were able to calculate and define everything. The story of the Meraglim tells of the spies who returned from Canaan. They explained, according to their calculation, according to their logic, there is no way that the Israelites could conquer the land. Lo nuchal la'alos, they say, ki chazaku mimenu. We cannot possibly conquer the land. The land and its inhabitants are stronger even than God. Amalek dwells in the south. People are burying their dead. The fruit is huge. According to their calculations, they thought that conquering the land was impossible. Furthermore, in the book of Bamidbar, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, we read the story of the rebellion of Korach. He complained, according to his calculations, he should have been the prince of the tribe of Levi. Furthermore, the Medrash tells us that Korach gathered 250 men, and ranting and raving, they said, according to their logic, a mezuzah is unnecessary in a room that is filled with holy books. It even contains a story, Sefer Bamidbar, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, of Miriam. According to her reasoning, according to her logic, according to her rationalization, she believed Moshe should not have divorced his wife and should have stayed with his wife, and she spoke ill of her brother. It also discusses Jews who wanted meat and they thought God gave them bad food in the manna. And so, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, in a book that is full of human error, when human beings think that they can calculate better than the Ribono Shel Olam, along comes the mystery of the Parah Aduma. So actually, in his own words, there is no better time and place to talk about the Red Heifer and its complex and esoteric laws than specifically in Sefer Bamidbar, a sefer in which human beings make incorrect mortal calculations to redefine Torah outlook and divine direction, kaviyachal. The red cow and its laws represent the complete omnipotence of Hashem in spirit, in logic, in mechanics. It's true, we cannot understand it. So the spies could not understand Israel, so they said, we cannot go up to Israel. Miriam could not understand Moshe, so she said, Moshe has done something wrong. She spoke Lashon Hara. Korach could not understand why Moshe and Aaron took all the gedula for themselves, and so Korach complained. The people could not understand why they only had manna, so they complained for meat. So along comes Ribbono Shel Olam, and smack in the middle of this book, he gives us Zoz Chukas HaTorah. Like Rashi says, what is the point of this? Says Rashi, Gzei Rahim Fanai, Ein Lecha Rishus Laharher Achara. In a book of Torah, where the people are constantly pitting their own calculations, their own cheshbonos, their own logic against the logic and calculations of the omnipotent God, if we think we will win in that contest, never. The will of the Ribbono Shel Olam will always be done. Hashem comes along and he specifically gives us Chukas HaTorah with the Parah Aduma here. Continuing with the words of Rabbi Kamenetsky, the laws of the Red Heifer exclaim, though we may search for rhyme and reason in Torah, regardless if we understand or not, we must still observe the mitzvos that the Torah commands. For there will always be, and we must remember this, some aspect of Torah and of life and of the divine decree that may appear to us as mysterious. Yet the Jew proceeds in life with uncalculating faith. We understand and we believe and we must accept there's a great divine method to the many aspects of the goings on of our world that we simply cannot fathom. Only in that manner, when we accept that God's chachma is way beyond ours and God's reasoning is way beyond ours, and mine is human and fallible and weak and often errs, and God's wisdom, the Ein Sof from the beginning to the end of time, is absolutely emes, only then will we merit to be committed totally to Hashem's Torah, and not, says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, to our mortal vision of it. I think it's such an important lesson in the day and age in which we live, in the year in which we live, in the current events in which we live. There's so much that's confusing to us. There's so much in the world around us that really does not make any sense to us. And we want to try and make cheshbonos and calculations and charts and plans. And yes, we have to plan for the future doing reasonable ishtadlus. But ultimately, we must bow our heads to the divine will. We must submit our will. No, to God's will, ultimately acknowledging that even when something does not make sense, which is what the Parah Aduma represents, we still accept the decree and the will of God. It is a decree before me. This applies not only to the Parah Aduma, but so much of what happens in our lives. I wish you a wonderful day of Menuchas HaNefesh, a peaceful Shabbos, and we should only have Besuros Tovos. Thank you for learning with me.